for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us with you for the next 30 minutes, getting you set for the start of minicamp on Tuesday. That will go through Thursday. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. John Schmelk alongside me this morning. John,
the great Lance Meadow graces us with his presence. Well, thank you for showing up to work for once in a while.
My pleasure. It's good to be back here at the Timex facility.
Wish I could say it was good to see you.
Well, I mean, that goes...
You always come in with a big attitude problem.
That's a whole other topic.
You come in with your hired car. Your limo brings you in.
I'm high maintenance. When I come to the facility, people know to get ready.
We have to bring in the special caterer so you can have your Fruity Pebbles in the morning.
The kitchen was restocked
yes.
this morning. New water, everything. The fridge is full. I'm very happy that everything's in line when I return to the facility.
So how you been?
Been doing well. Been doing good. How are things with you?
Everything's good. Well, look, I'm here. I'm really close to this organization and the team, and obviously. You kind of you work on Sirius NFL Radio. You hear people. You know, you talk to the great Adam Schein, the heir apparent over there at that place now. What's the take and thoughts about the Giants on, like, the quote-unquote national scene from a big-picture perspective?
Well, I think everybody thinks the Giants are going to have a bounce-back season in terms of being able to compete in the NFC East. There's a lot of questions regarding the Cowboys because of some of the moves they made in the draft and also the health of Tony Romo and whether or not they can have a consistent offense. In terms of the Redskins, RG3's a question mark, and who knows what the Eagles are going to present because of a new coach and a new offensive system. So in terms of consistency, I think from a national focus, the Giants, to me, are the team with the least amount of question marks. And I know a lot of Giants fans may say, well, wait a minute, hold back. Hold on a second here. We've got two wide receivers that haven't shown up to OTAs yet. We have our top defensive end who's having back surgery. But the nucleus overall is returning, and the coaching staff is still in place, and there's Eli Manning. So in terms of hitting the panic button for the Giants, I think that's way premature at this point. I think they're the team in the best shape right now, and I know it's very early as we make our way towards training camp.
Would you consider them the team to beat in the NFC East?
I would also put them up there in terms of the team to beat.
No, not up there. Well, Are they the team to beat?
I think the Redskins, if RG3 is fully healthy, you have to say, given that they won the division last year, I would maybe put them a little bit ahead of the Giants.
That's
because
fair.
They also are going to return intact, but RG3 is a question mark. How healthy is he going to be come week one?
That's fair. I'll buy that. I think that's a fair point. And look, injuries obviously play a whole lot into it. What's the take overall on Nixon Cruz not being around?
Oh, Akeem Nix, there's rumors all around. I mean, is he sitting out because of a contract issue? Is it health? That's pretty much what the national focus is right now. Big picture, I don't think it's a huge concern because at the end of the day, Akeem Nix has shown up to some OTAs previously. And the bottom line is they need him fully healthy. Remember, it was at this time last year that Akeem Nix got hurt.
He broke his foot.
And what happened as a result? He came back, but he wasn't necessarily 100% start of the season against the Cowboys, if you recall, because he didn't play in any of those preseason games, played in the last one, but didn't play a lot, then had the knee injury against the Bucks, and as a result, it was a balance of trying to get that injury under control throughout the course of the season. As a result, the offense struggled. So if you're the Giants right now, priority number one, get Akeem Nix fully healthy. If that means that he wants to work out on his own a little bit before he returns to mandatory camp, so be it. I don't think overall it's a huge concern right now. Victor Cruz is the one with the contract issue. It's not Akeem Nix. That's why I think the media tends to blow things out of proportion. Hakeem Nicks has not said anything. His agent has come out and said that it has nothing to do with the contract. So everything else is rumors until Hakeem Nicks publicly makes anything known to the fans and the media.
Well, and I think it's important to know, too, that everything up to this time has been optional. So if he doesn't show up tomorrow for minicamp and he gets fined, then I think we might have a bigger story on our hands.
Absolutely, because that, quote-unquote, is mandatory, as opposed to some of these other individual OTAs which have been voluntary. Now, that doesn't excuse a player from showing up. Tom Coughlin has been very vocal, and we know how he runs his operation here. He wants his players to show up, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's funny, you look at Kerry Williams, the new corner for the Eagles who came over from the Ravens. He's received a lot of criticism. He was on a local Philadelphia radio station and said, listen, I'm not going to show up to voluntary OTAs and camps because I need to have an offseason. Now, he caught a lot of flack because of that, because now the fans in Philly are saying, well, wait a minute, are you dedicated to this team? You're a newbie, in a sense, even though you're a veteran corner. We want to see that you're focused and ready to help turn around the team.
Now, he didn't skip all the workouts, right? He just skipped
a
few of them?
He's been absent for the majority of
them.
Okay,
fair enough. Well, you say he wanted to spend time with his kids and
correct,
all that sort of stuff. But you know what? I get that. And it's funny. I think it's Peter King who brought this up a lot. I think Dan Graziano brought it up a lot, too, from ESPN, who covers the NFC, does a good job. When the players signed the contract they did with the NFL and the whole CBA mess 2 years ago when they had the lockout, the one thing that the players really won in that deal was the fact that they could have more offseason time off. They didn't win a lot in terms of the percentage of the football-related income. They didn't win any of that stuff, but they did win more freedom where they don't have to do as much in the offseason. And look, this stuff's voluntary, and the coaches can say we want them here as much as they want. The players don't have to go, and the teams can't do anything about it. So if Kerry Williams wants to go and watch his daughter have a recital, you know what? He can do that. Now, if he shows up and he's not in shape and he gets hurt, then that's a whole other story.
And that's on him.
That's on him. But I want to throw another thing out there, too. Have you ever heard a corner say, I didn't play well this year because I didn't understand the system? There's only a certain amount of zones you could play, all right? You got quarters, you got three deep, you got two deep, you got single high, you got man-to-man, you got bump and run, you got off coverage, and that's it. I mean, this isn't exactly rocket science. No one's reinventing the quarterback position here. It's not like he's playing quarterback or wide receiver.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, there's certainly a different level of impact when you're talking about a corner versus a wide receiver in the Giants' case. Now, you can make the point last season.
Nicks knows the system, though. It's not like he's learning anything.
No, he does know the system. Right. I agree with you. However, there were signs that we talked about this throughout the course of all of last season because of the time that Nicks missed. There were some issues in terms of Eli Manning and Nicks being on the same page throughout the season. Some balls maybe overthrown, balls that normally would have been caught in seasons prior were not hauled in as a result of them not getting in as much work during practice and in between games.
That could be part of it, yeah. Or it could be, too, that maybe Nick just didn't have that second or third gear anymore.
Absolutely.
Because of the leg, so Eli overthrows him a little bit.
So that's the only way I would throw into the conversation it's important for Nick to be here to work with
right.
Eli Manning. However, if Hakeem Nicks is there for the entirety of training camp, we're not really going to be worried about him missing an OTA
No one's going to care.
That's the key.
No one's going to care.
He missed training camp last year, and that's the time where the helmets are on, the pads are on, the coaches are evaluating the talent, and everybody is really being integrated into the system. It's hard to say, well, Hakeem Nicks missed a workout where they're in shorts and a T-shirt, and the coaches don't have an opportunity to evaluate Nicks, and Manning and Nicks didn't throw 30 passes to one another. That's why I think things are a little bit blown out of proportion. As you mentioned, John, over the next 3 days will be a telling stat or a telling storyline regarding Hakeem Nicks. He shows up. This is now a thing of the past. Okay? He missed a couple of voluntary workouts. Not the end of the world. He comes to the mandatory workouts where they really start implementing the system and players get on the same page with one another. Then it's a dropped issue. Then the concern turns more towards Victor Cruz and trying to get that contract worked out so that he's back in camp and ready also to get on the same page with Eli Manning.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing with Knicks is they just communicate better. Let them know why you're not going to be there. Give them a heads up.
Fair point.
And if he does that, I don't think anybody really cares, to be honest with you. But the way he's handled it hasn't exactly been great.
And that's probably the most criticism that he should face right. in terms of why he hasn't shown up. Right. If you choose to skip a couple of workouts, pick up the phone, contact your coaches, contact the front office, get in contact with somebody so that it doesn't become a bigger issue that they have to blow out of proportion.
And if you don't want to tell them why, just say personal reasons. That's all you got to say.
And he's entitled to that.
He can do whatever he wants. Anyway, 201-939-4513 is our number. Also, our question of the day on Twitter. What position group are you most looking forward to seeing in minicamp, and what group do you think needs to step up the most and show you something as we move forward into Giants offseason? Now, I don't believe our man Shakes has had a chance to talk to Lance on the phone before. Now, Lance is one of our main hosts during the season, Shakes, and you've been calling mostly during the offseason. So we want to bring you in here. I want to introduce you to Lance Shakes. This is Shakes in Maryland. This is Lance Meadow. Lance, this is Shakes.
Hey, what's, enjoy. What's up, Lance?
How are you doing, Shakes? Welcome to the program. Glad to have you aboard.
I'm kind of a regular over here.
I heard John has spoken very highly of you, so I'm very enthusiastic about the level of conversation that you'll bring to the table.
Well, I guarantee you Shakes is going to want to talk about the linebacker position. How about that?
I'm down for that.
Oh,
what you got?
You read my mind. You read my mind. I wanted to answer the question.
Yeah.
The most interested position, of course, is the linebacker. Well, actually, it's the safety for me. The position I think that needs to step up is the linebacker. And I think they will. But why I'm so interested in these safeties is because I'm not so sold on Brown like I always say. I think he was in the right place the right time most of the time last year. I like Will Hill. I loved Kenny Phillips, but he never stayed healthy, and now he's in Philly, so now I don't like him no more. But I'm really, like, interested in to see what Cooper Taylor's going to do.
And, you know, don't forget, Shakes, and this, I had a chance to talk to safeties coach Dave Merritt last week, and I was asking him, I believe it was about Cooper Taylor, and he just brought up on his own how great Ryan Mundy has looked. And he basically said right now Mundy's the third safety. So don't forget about him. He's a guy that Dave Merritt likes, is really learning the system quickly, and he could be a big factor here on the defensive side of the ball.
You know what? I don't know too much about Mundy because I don't really watch too many Steeler games.
Well, you know what? He was mostly a special teamer for them the last few years, but he has been in the league in a while, and he has played a little bit of defense for them too.
Yeah, I've seen that he stepped in for Troy Polamalu a couple times and started. But for some odd reason, and I'm going to make Giants fans sick when I say this name, but when I think of Mundy, I'm thinking of CeCe Brown.
Oh, no. That boy. That is.
Yeah, that may bring up some bad memories.
Why are you talking about the man that shall not be named?
Well, I used to call him Can't Cover Brown.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. That's actually not bad. Pretty good.
I think some people were wondering what CC stands for.
Yeah, well, there you go.
We may have gotten it to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Can't cover, man. He was terrible. And I hope Mundy is not like him. I really do hope that he's not like him. And that's why I'm like, okay, well, Will Hill needs to step up. Then if things are going to happen with Ryan Mundy and he turns out to be a CC Brown, oh, my gosh, we're in trouble again.
Well, Shakes, let me ask you this, because you alluded to this at the beginning of the phone call. Why are you so concerned about Stevie Brown after what many would say was a breakout campaign for him? You feel he's going to take a step back? Is that the main concern?
I don't think that. Of course it's going to be a step back because you're not going to get 6-7 interceptions every year. You're not going to do that. I just think that he didn't show so much, but just that he was just in the right place at the right time. I mean, He didn't lay people out. He wasn't no Sean Taylor laying people out. He wasn't no Kenny Phillips. Couldn't cover, like, fly around like Superman. he just didn't show me anything. Now, he may show me this year. I may be wrong. But it's just that he didn't show me too much. He just showed me that, okay, it was a tip ball. He caught it. Interception.
Well, Steve. You know, Well, Shakes, two things about Stevie Brown. One, he's much more of a coverage safety. I was actually talking to him the other day, and we were joking about it. We were doing a segment that's going to be one of our TV shows called My Best Move. And I go, all right, Stevie, we have a couple ideas. You could talk about reading the quarterback. You could talk about playing too deep. You could talk about, you know, run support. He goes, well, they don't really put me in the box much, so I'm really not that in there. So that's, you know, that probably isn't something that, you know, that we should work on. So they generally don't put him close to the line of scrimmage. He's a coverage guy. He's a guy that's going to play over the top. Quite frankly, it's because he's about 5'11", 6', like 200 and what? Stevie Brown, what, 230, if that, 220?
221.
221. He is not that big of a guy. So he's a guy that's mostly going to play coverage. And talking to Dave Merritt, you asked about what you think he does well. Coach Merritt raved about his film study. He said last year, and this is an interview you see on Giants.com before training camp, that Stevie Brown was the first guy he's ever coached that got through an entire notebook and had to ask for a new one in around week 13 or 14 because he filled up his entire notebook with notes about opponents.
Wow.
How about that one?
Okay.
That's a nice nugget.
That is a nice nugget.
Yeah, that makes me feel much better about him. Student of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Okay, all right, thanks. Thanks for that. I feel much better about it.
All right, Chakes.
Much better.
All right, Chakes.
All right, man.
Thanks for the phone call.
Tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat.
So did Shakes live up to the...
Yeah,
Shakes. He did a good job,
Shakes,
right?
Did spark some chatter. We like Shakes' contributions. Well, I like to get a little bit more used to him as the season progresses, but, you know, I think he made a good first impression.
Okay, good.
You've had more of an opportunity to chat with him. You seem sold on him.
We've developed a very tight bond.
I can tell.
The offseason.
Yes. Well, you know, dropping a few nuggets in there too.
Well,
you don't drop nuggets to just anybody. The public and the audience should know that. You know, you got to get to know a person before you let the nuggets flow.
That's not a bad point. Well, I have to make other friends since you abandoned me. Since
apparently,
the season's
been over. Well, listen, I didn't abandon you by choice. Now, I'm not welcomed here as often as I usually am.
You know, these
that
are
goes
details
without saying.
That the people
yes.
at it don't need to.
We
know.
Don't need to let everybody know that, but I'm at least letting that know. All right, let's go to another one of our favorites, Steve in D.C.
What's up, Steve?
What's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's up, man?
Doing well,
hey,
Steve.
Not
what you got?
Too much. Well, first of all, let me just say, I just knew that Shakes was going to go with the linebacker crew. He's been having a spotlight on Aaron Curry since he got here. What happened?
Yeah, Shakes loves him some Aaron Curry. I keep trying to tell him to calm down, but he loves him some Aaron Curry.
Aaron Curry does have an impressive resume, at least in terms of where he was drafted.
Well, that's about the only thing on his resume.
Listen. The bottom line is it's a low-risk move, high reward.
I'm going to try to torch for him, guys. I was definitely, you know, looking forward to seeing what the linebacker crew was going to do this year. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's been, you know, calling for, you know, some changes in personnel for the last couple of years. So I think that's the obvious spotlight, you know. But as far as going back to the safeties, you know, of course, I'm a Will Hill fan because I'm a Florida alumni and I've watched his whole career. But I am too interested in what Ryan Monday is going to do as well. I think it's kind of played under the radar, playing behind Polamalu out there, you know, in Steeler Nation. So I think he may be a big surprise and do good things for us.
And the reason I think Coach Merritt likes Monday, too, he's a much bigger guy. So they like that he's able to bump and run a little bit in that slot. He can run support out of that slot. So he could be a guy that'll be closer to the line of scrimmage and give some run support, too.
And, Steve, I like the point that you brought up about how Mundy may have fell under the radar because he played behind Polamalu. Keep in mind, Stevie Brown was a guy that moved around before he really got a good role with the Giants, was a backup, now all of a sudden shined as a starter. And I'm not saying that Mundy's going to duplicate what Brown did this season, but perhaps now that Mundy gets more of an expanded role, a bigger opportunity, perhaps we'll get our first look of what his true potential is as an every down safety.
And remember, too, that Polamalu did miss a lot of time, too, Steve, these last few years. So Mundy has had some chances to get on the field, though. Remember, him and Polamalu, different types of safeties. You know, he's more of the Ryan Clark type who's going to hit big. Polamalu's more of a guy that's going to run around a little bit, a smaller type of guy.
Well, listen, I'm a Stevie Brown fan, you know, all the way. I mean, he stole my heart. You know, he stole my heart with his interceptions. You know, it's obvious that the kid puts in a lot of time studying because he's always in the right place. So, before I go, guys, I just want to say one last thing, you know, about the Hakeem, you know, Knicks and, you know, Victor Cruz situation.
Sure.
The best thing I think we could do is not talk about him. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the best thing we could do in order to help the Giants. I think these guys are kind of playing, taking the temperature of not only the fans but the management just to see how far they can push things. Honestly, the best thing we could do is just wait for him to show up before we even talk about it. I know it's not going to happen, but I really wish it would, you know, because I don't like holding my team hostage like this. So anyway, guys, hey, listen, thanks. That's my 50 cent for the day. And I'll listen up there. Have a good one, guys.
All right, thanks, Steve. Thanks so much.
And by the way, Mundy's just listed at 6'1", 209. That's strange. I see him in the hall. Doesn't Mundy seem like a bigger guy when you see him in the locker room or in the hallway? Like, I would think he outweighs Stevie Brown by 15, 20 pounds just looking at him. But apparently not.
Well, everyone looks bigger to me. So I was going to say, you got a couple of inches on me. I would think that he wouldn't look as big compared to me. I walk through the hallways. Everybody looks like a giant.
By the way, we should mention the one adjustment the Giants did make, considering the fact that Nix wasn't here and Cruz hasn't been here either.
That's right.
I can't believe you haven't brought this up
yet. I brought it up on Twitter.
Well, it's not the same.
But we have not brought it up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Well, I'm going to then mention it. Apparently, you're not going to take full advantage of your favorite topic. Yes, Ramsey's Barden is back, and he is back by popular demand. Giants fans, sit down. If you're in the car, if you're on the mobile app, if you're near the computer, if you're at work, take a minute to breathe. Ramsey's Barden is back. The depth chart is a bit deeper. You can't teach hype. We'll leave it at that.
And, you know, I got a great story for you. You're going to love this. So we're at Justin Tuck's football camp. Couple Saturdays ago in the morning. It's all we did it up in Engletown, New Jersey.
They let people like you in it?
Well, we went. It's going to be a feature on one of our TV shows. Wow. So we went there, we shot it, we interviewed Justin, and talked to some of the kids. And they have a Q&A session. So he's talking to some of the kids there. And this, you know, fifth, sixth grade kid gets up, walks up, asks Justin to cook. He goes, Justin. Trying to think of the exact wording before.
Well, you're really building up the drama here.
I am. Well, the kid walks up to Justin and he goes, Justin, I really want the Giants to bring back Ramsey's Barden.
Come on, you're making this.
No, I laughed out loud. You could ask Mike Becton, our camera guy. I could not believe
it. That
and Justin
great.
Goes, actually, we just brought Ramsey's back.
Oh, I'm so this was fan. After the fact.
It was only a few days after.
Gotcha.
And it was, I'm just like, wow.
We got to bring that kid to call up to phones. Big Blue Kickoff.
No, it's amazing.
That is classic. If his next question is, can you teach height? That would have been a great one. That would have been the follow-up.
I mean, yeah, he should be. He's a great red zone.
Absolutely.
No yes. question.
I'm surprised that. What type of reaction did the fans give after that signing? Did the chatter pick up regarding Ramsey's Barden?
I only got one really positive Ramsey's Barden phone call. I think
there's always one out there.
I made the point as I got into this offseason that I felt like I was starting to reach fans a little bit in terms of the Victor Cruz thing with people panicking. Some people calmed down a little bit more. You know, people understood the Ramsey's Barden stuff. I feel like I'm reaching people one fan at a time.
And that's fair. That's valid. Fair. You're the helpline here at Giants.com. One thing I just want to throw out before we get to Len in Columbia. So Len, just hold on 1 second here. 201-939-4513. This is something that Steve alluded to about not talking about the Nix and Cruz situation. There's a positive out of this whole thing, and that is Lewis Murphy, Ruben Randall, Jurnal Jurgen, they're getting reps. And the reason why I say that's important, in a perfect world, you're not going to have any injuries. But in the NFL, which is reality, you're going to have injuries.
And throw Brandon Collins in that mix, too, who's had a very good
And they OTA. Do have some depth. Even Ramsey's Barden's going to get some reps, too. So it's important for Manning to build some chemistry with this group, mostly because some of them are new, mm-hmm. and also because you're going to have to rely on that third wide receiver this season. You may have to rely on one of these guys who need to fill in for a Cruz or a Nix during the season. This is the time you improve. This is the time you get better. This is the time you build that chemistry between the quarterback and the wide receiver.
It's true. And it's not like Manning, like we talked about before, has to build chemistry with Cruz and Nix. If they're there in training camp, they're going to be fine. That's not an issue. So it's almost more important for guys like Murphy, for Jernigan, to get reps with Eli. So far, Eli and Murphy look good together in practice. And Murphy, you know, his hands have been a problem in the past. He has not dropped a lot of passes in spring practice. He hasn't.
And staying healthy has also been another issue when he was with the Raiders, not necessarily when he was with the Panthers. But you're right. This is a guy that could stretch the field. You know, you put him on the field with Nix and Cruz, John. That's a dangerous trio that Eli Manning, you know, loves to air things out. So if they can get fully healthy, they can get everybody happy and back at camp, it's going to be very interesting to see what steps this offense takes, specifically in the passing
game.
And
don't forget Brandon Myers, who I think is going to have a big year as well.
You don't catch about 70-plus passes for nothing.
No
You're doing something right there. Let's go back to the lines. We go to Len in Columbia. Len, what's happening?
Len,
are you there? All right, we'll come back to Len. It looks like he's
Put
listening to
there,
his computer.
We'll
try to come back to Len. Let's go to Robert in Tampa. Robert, what's happening?
Hey.
What's up, Robert?
You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
How you doing?
Doing well, Robert. What you got?
Okay. All right, Ramsey Barden. I know I talked to you about him when he first got him a long time ago. You probably don't remember. But I went to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and I bumped into his father. He looked just like him, but older.
Okay.
But we was all the way up in the, I don't know why he has seats. But I talked to him about his son, instead of being a wide receiver, a tight end. And I tweeted him, and he answered me back, never. What do you think about that? Putting him as a tight end, 6'6", but let him get more bulkier?
Yeah, no, that, I think that's the problem. I mean, look, the Giants already had a player like that, Robert, in Travis Beckham, a guy who was a receiver. They, you know, he's basically a wide receiver that play tight end. They couldn't trust him to block. And the way the Giants' offensive system works, Robert, tight ends have to not only be able to catch passes, they need to be able to block as well. So,
I
get it. I understand what you're trying to do. He doesn't have great speed, but he has good height. You can use him down the seam. I understand where you're going with that. And as a target in the passing game, it makes sense. You can line him up, match him up against linebackers and safeties. It can work. But he would just be such a liability as a blocker. Remember, he's not a great special teams player as it is, which means he's probably not as willing to get physical as maybe he should be. So I would be worried about him as a blocker if you decide to move him to tight end.
But the coaches could teach blocking. I mean,
well, you can teach it, but the guy has to physically be willing to commit to it.
Yeah, that's why I said in the beginning he needs to bulk up. You know, he needs to get a little bit. But I guess, you know, Pat, it's been like 4 or 5 years already, so he's stuck where he's at, I guess.
Well, Robert, I agree with you that he'd have to bulk up, but as John touched on, he could bulk up, he could add a new body, but the bottom line is he needs to have the willingness to want to block, and sometimes that's very difficult to teach. Look at David Wilson, for example. A lot of hype surrounding him, former first-round pick. This year, the big thing for him is, will he be improved in his passing blocking and his run blocking, too, to help protect Eli Manning? That's the key. In order for him to step up and become that number one running back. That was a huge question mark all of last season. That's why he was limited in playing time.
Oh, okay.
All right, Robert.
All right, thank you. And one more thing. Don't worry about the receivers. Knicks and Cruz, they'll be there this year.
All right, thanks, Robert.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, do we have Len back on the line? Let's try Len in Columbia. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Now, Len, I thought you were trying to send the message to Lance Meadow there that if you don't want to show up for the off season, then you know what? To heck with you. I'm not going to be on the phone when we go to you on the phones.
Listen, when you said welcome, Len, the first time, I started talking to Lance. I said, Lance, welcome back. So, hey, Lance, that shoots down what John is thinking.
Ah, boo.
Yes, I appreciate
but I must,
that,
I
Len.
Must admit my, I must admit my second thought is these guys are trying to get rid of me rather quickly this morning.
We're moving along. We're trying to squeeze in as many callers as possible. My welcome back show here.
Okay. You know, on the question of the day, I think I'm most interested in seeing how the defensive tackles, work out. And I think that's probably the most competitive position. And secondly, I'm interested in seeing how Justin Pugh fits in. We got a pretty good idea about what most of the offensive line is going to look like. But, what is Pugh's role going to be in this first year? And, you know, how does he fit in at this point? So. But I think the defensive tackle is probably the most competitive. You know, if I was part of Coach Merritt's press conference, I would have had a follow-up question. I would have said to him, Coach, if Mundy's running third, who's running fourth? Because if Mundy's running third, then it means one of those top three guys, Roll, Hill, and Brown, are running number four.
Well, Hill is.
And I'd be interested to know what Coach Merritt thought about that. I think it's a coach's ploy, to be honest with you. I think they're trying to light a fire under one of those top three guys. I'm glad we have Ryan Mundy. I think he's gonna shake some people up when he makes some tackles on special teams. But, geez, if he's our third safety, I'm a little worried about that.
Well,
guy.
Len, after you mentioned Mundy, I did get to Will Hill with him, and he made the point that, look, Will Hill, and this was I think I'm using the right word, he has something to prove this year. And this was his quote. He has to prove not only to us, but to other NFL teams that he can play safety in the NFL. So to me, the message the coaching staff is sending Will Hill, you're not only trying to make our team, there's a chance, you know, you might not make this team, that you have to play well enough that another team might be willing to pick you up. So this is a make or break offseason right now for Will Hill. From what, again, that's just me judging what Coach Merritt said. You're right. Maybe he's just sending a message, trying to get to him a little bit. But that's the message that I got talking to Coach Merritt.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. That's a very interesting point. I think most of us that call in are very high on Will Hill, but, you know, the coaches are the ones who see him every day and interact with these guys every day, so they know more than we do, obviously. And, you know, I always saw Hill as possibly the heir apparent to role, but, you know, come on, Will. Let's get going. I think he's a football player. I think it's just, you know, it's kind of an attitude problem. I guess that's where the coach is coming from.
Hey, look, he certainly has the athletic ability. He certainly has the athletic ability, Len, but much like in college, you know, he couldn't earn his way onto the field with his play, and he's going to have to avoid that issue on the NFL level. He's going to have to convert that athleticism into productivity.
Let me try to make one more point, and I'm sorry I'm going to disappoint Steve from D.C. on this, but I want to talk about Knicks. I know he doesn't want to talk about Knicks anymore, but let me just say one thing about Knicks. You know, it sounds like we're making an assumption that if Nick shows up tomorrow, that he's going to practice.
Good point.
Not sure about that, guys.
Good point.
I think a lot of this is knee related, and you know, I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope he comes in and, you know, goes all out tomorrow. But I got a hunch this problem is you know, bigger than people understand. I think the Giants.
But Len,
I'm, you know, here I am, you know, voice of doom again, and I don't mean to go in that direction, but I think it runs deeper on the injury side with Hakeem, and again, I'm hope I'm wrong on that. But listen, I'll let some of the other folks get on. Lance, good to hear your voice, and I'm really looking forward to this. One other question, and maybe you can you know, help with this. Although we talked about it once before, John.
Yeah.
In Pugh's case and in Nasib's case, they're not under contract. Do they have to show up tomorrow?
You know what? I looked into that. I believe they signed an injury waiver, so if they get hurt, they'll get their money anyway.
Okay, good.
Again, I'm not sure what the technical rule is, but trust me, the rookies that aren't signed, they're going to be here.
Okay, good. Okay, guys, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Len. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning. Appreciate it. And it's important for rookies to show up because they're all fighting for jobs.
Well, this is the most important thing. You know, these OTAs are great for the veterans. They get them back into shape. They get them back into mode. But look, guys like Knicks, guys like Cruz, guys like Chris Snee, David Boss, these guys have been around the block a bunch of times. They don't need this. Look, is it helpful? Sure. But if they miss it, is it going to kill them this season? No. Simply not.
I'm going to piggyback off of Len's last point, and I know Steve's going to get annoyed because we're still going to be talking about Hakeem Nicks, but let's take his hypothetical situation here. Right. Let's assume that maybe it is injury-related. I don't see that there's any crime in a player realizing that he shouldn't overdo it now when he knows training camp is fast approaching and the season is on the horizon.
No,
that's
but
not necessarily a bad thing.
But isn't in this building the best place for you to rehab your injury and get healthier?
I buy that. Can't argue with that point.
Even if you're not going to participate, that's fine. Then come here and be with the trainers in the training room and get work on your knee while the guys are out there working.
And if there's any staff that knows your knee well or your injury history, it's this staff.
And this is why it's so strange. Why would you show up to the off-season program, work out, get in shape, then when the OTAs start, you disappear? That's what's so strange to me. This doesn't make any sense. If he was going to send the message, why not just not show up on April 15th when the workouts begin? It doesn't make any sense.
And what's also strange is the lack of communication, it seems. Yeah. Even if you are not going to show up, as you alluded and touched on earlier in the show, at least make sure everybody understands what the situation is at hand. 201-939-4513. You can continue to chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We go to our good friend Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's happening?
Fellas, good morning, Lance. Welcome back, baby.
Thank you,
how
Dave.
You been?
Doing well, Dave. How's everything with you?
Nice, nice. Just working a lot this summer, so it's been busy.
Good to hear. What you got this morning?
Yeah, yeah. I just thought the question of the day. Lance, you missed it the other day. Johnny got the Teals, Nike, in an uproar over DeMontre Moore. It was hilarious.
Really?
Well,
wow.
Well, DeTino got me a little riled up because he comes
when
on.
Does he not?
This is his quote. I was looking at DeMontre Moore's cut-ups, and let me tell you something, John. One-on-one, he's unblockable.
He had him the next Strahan, man.
Exactly.
Why don't we just put him in the Hall of Fame right now? One-way ticket to Canton.
He had his jersey up on the wall already, man. Oh. It was. It's going to be exciting. I'm kind of looking forward to. I mean, anytime we get a position like that, a new guy, it'll be fun to watch. But I think what I wanted to say is, Johnny, you remember before, the other end, our other end on the
JPP.
Other side. Kiwi Nuka.
Okay.
Yeah, do you remember before he got hurt when he was playing defensive end that year, he only played about 4 or 5 games and he hurt his neck and he was out for the rest of the year.
He started out with about 4 or 5 sacks that year, if I remember right.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say, man. He was on fire. So it could be interesting to see, you know, maybe he'll take up the slack until I think Vitino brought up a good point. JPP, he might miss that first 3 or 4 games. I know he's projected for the first game, but I guess we could probably wait and see. But I think it'll be an interesting position to watch.
Yeah, I think Kiwanuka, you know, he's finally going to get a chance to play his natural position full-time as a starter. It's something he's been waiting for a very long time, and now he's going to have to take advantage of it.
And there's some depth at that position, which means that there's going to be some competition. I think Kiwi and Tucker lined up as your opening day starters, assuming JPP's not back, but you have some guys that can be moved around. Take, for example, Cullen Jenkins, which the coaching staff touched on last week. He's played inside and outside when he was with the Green Bay Packers. You have some versatility at that position, and Adewale Ajomo. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to prove to the coaching staff that he can expand on his role. I think training camp and preseason games will be a telling opportunity for him.
Right. All right, cool, guys. Thanks again. Lance, nice talking to Johnny. Have a good day.
Thanks, you. Dave. Thanks it's so funny. Much. I was talking to Robert Nunn, the defensive line coach, and you know, we started down the line of the JPP thing, and I started going through player by player. That's what I like to do these position coaches, get their take on the individual players one by one. Because, look, these guys, and it's not their job to talk about overall strategy, you know, things like that. That's the realm of the head coach. That's the realm of the coordinator. So I like to focus on the individual players with these guys. And since JPP injury had just kind of come down earlier in the week, I was asking about all the guys that were stepping in. I look at my watch. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm 5 minutes into this interview. I got to wrap this thing up. I'm going too long here. I wrap it up, and I realize I forgot to ask about any defensive tackles.
Well, there's so many defensive ends, as you mentioned.
Well, there's so many defensive tackles, too. And it's just that so many guys are going to have opportunities now to prove themselves, whether it's Adrian Tracy, whether it's Ajomo, whether it's Demontre Moore. And just real quick, Demontre Moore, he said, has hit the weight room, and he has to transform his body. And from what Nunn was telling me, situational player, unless he can somehow, in a matter of 3 or 4 months, put on enough weight where he can do more than that. Ajomo's got to be better against the run. He's got to be more consistent, and he's got to contribute on special teams. That was a big thing he mentioned. Ajomo's got to get better on specials if he wants to make a splash here. And then finally, Adrian Tracy, again, he's a smaller guy, more of a situational pass rusher. So there, and then you have Justin Tratow, I think, is really a sleeper in all this. He was probably going to make the team last year until he had that high ankle sprain at the end of the camp. So I think he's a guy also that could be an issue and a factor in that defensive end.
I think it's interesting that you brought up special teams, that facet, since the team may dress, let's say, 5 or 6 defensive linemen, and they're all not going to be able to rotate in evenly. Some of them are going to have to really make their biggest impact on special teams, so that's why they want to see the versatility out of this group of linemen.
I mean, can you dress 10 defensive linemen? Probably not, right? You probably have to get that number down to 9.
It depends on the injuries
and a tackle,
that you face.
You know you're dressing Joseph. You know you're dressing Jenkins. You would like to think you're dressing Hankins every week as a second-round pick. You would like to think that. And then who's the fourth guy? Is it Kuhn coming off the knee injury?
Sean Rogers.
Is it Sean Rogers? Is it Mike Patterson? You know, there are a lot of tackles that Giants brought in that they think can be a factor. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pare down that defensive line.
Well, that's why a player like an Ajomo, Rogers, you know, is not going out and playing special teams. So you need the fourth or the fifth guy to be willing to play special teams if he wants to dress on game days.
I'll tell you what, though. Is there a better wedge buster than Sean Rogers?
Not that I can think of.
You have him just run full speed right into that little two-man wedge?
I don't want to be on the offensive line facing that.
No,
I'll tell you that.
Not.
Let's go back to the lines, try to squeeze in a caller or two. Valerie in Virginia. Valerie, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well,
good morning, Valerie. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to address the issue of who needs to step up. Now, I want to make this real clear. our defense has to stay healthy. Okay, we already know the secondary got to make plays and the linebackers need to step up. But I want to focus on the offense.
Okay.
Now, with the NFL rules changing with the running backs, you know, with the head rule, what I call the lowering the shoulder, the Brandon Jacobs rule, that's what I call it. Now, we do, now with Wilson and Brown, and I'm still high on Darrell Scott, I think he needs to be inserted into that running back rotation. These running backs are good pass-catching running backs. Keeping in mind with that NFL rule, with the way the running back will have to play the game, the running backs needs to be utilized more in the passing game because we are going to be playing teams with aggressive backfield that's going to shut down Nick Cruz.
Okay.
And I think, I believe in second chances. I think Ramsey Barton finally will get his second chance. But I think I think Reuben Randall or Reggie Myers is going to be the third option receiver. And this is a tight end league.
Okay.
You cannot leave out the tight end.
I buy that.
And I just want your opinion on that.
All right, yeah. Valerie, thanks so much for the phone
call. Yeah,
Valerie,
honestly, I think you're running the money on a lot of that stuff. I think, in my opinion, I think Brandon Myers is probably going to be your second or third highest reception player on this team. I think he's a good receiver. I think he's going to be a big factor. And I think last year I would have liked to see Eli, rather than forcing it down the field sometimes, dump it off more to the tight end or the running back out of the backfield. However, right now, from the running backs on the roster, none of these guys are accomplished pass catchers. You know, they can catch the swing pass. They can catch, you know, the screen or the dump off. But none of these guys are LeSean McCoy's, where he's going to run a wheel route. He's going to get into that secondary, match up on a linebacker or a safety, and beat him on like a wide receiver route. At least I don't see that happening. That was one of David Wilson's weaknesses coming out of school. He struggled with it. And I'm just not sure I see somebody being that accomplished catching the ball out of the backfield from the group that's here right now. Not Scott, not Terrain, not Wilson, not Brown.
I think the three running backs all have a lot to prove, as you mentioned, within the passing game. Brandon Myers, to me, could be another X factor. Martellus Bennett proved throughout a course of a couple of games that he could be a consistent weapon. If I'm correct, I think he even ran a wheel route at one time during the season.
Jacobs did.
No, didn't. I thought Martellus Bennett ran one last
season.
Oh, yeah,
he did a little bit.
So, you know, they may get creative.
And when Jacobs did it, that was your famous horse and buggy play.
That's right, the horse and buggy. Who can forget that? One of the best named plays in the history of mankind. It caught on so much that only one person refers to it
now.
Yes,
exactly.
All right, let's try to squeeze in one more call before we call it a show. Gerson in California. Gerson, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, good morning.
So, Gerson,
talk about the linebackers. But one thing, you know what? Nobody talks about Herschelich. And you know what? He was going to be, I believe, if he were to come out before he found out he had a cancer, he would have been a top first pick. Let's start with that. Plus, going through chemo and going through all that, that took a wear in his body.
Sure.
So I have a feeling that he's going to be, you know, his body's just getting into where it's supposed to be, back into form. And I have a good feeling this year is going to be his year.
Well, the opportunity is there.
Middle linebacker?
Hey, look.
Correct.
Yeah, I think he's going to – right now he's starting a middle linebacker in the OTAs. He's lining up with the first unit. And, look, this to me is a make-or-break year for Herzlick. This is the offseason. He's got to step in. He's got to earn that job. Dan Connor's not going to give it to him. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for a while. He knows what he's doing. He's back in his natural position as a 4-3 inside linebacker. So Herzlick is going to have to show this team and prove to them that he deserves that spot. He's going to have every opportunity, but he has to seize it. Nothing will be given to him.
Correct. But my point was just pretty much his physically, he wasn't there the whole time. So that's a big disadvantage for someone when you really can't control, like your body's still drained, you know, from what he went through. But my thing with Connor, I thought he was going to be more of our strong side linebacker just because I keep hearing about him being he's just real good at downhill playing. So I thought he was going to be more of a strong.
Well, Connor's always played Mike. In his career, he's always been a Mike guy. Honestly, I think Herzlick's body was back last year. I think he was there physically 100% last year. And when, frankly, he was given the chance to play, he didn't give the Giants a lot of reasons to put him back out there a whole lot. His play wasn't great last year. And this is the make-or-break year. And look, to me, you can move either Herzlick or Connor to the strong side if you have to. But I think ideally the Giants like to see one of those two guys start in the middle. You have Jaquan Williams on the weak side, who, by the way, finally got back on the practice field for the first time in the final OTA last week. The fact that it took that long from what was just a PCL strain last year, to me, is a little concerning. And then I guess best-case scenario, if either Keith Rivers or if Aaron Curry can turn this thing around, you know, that would be your Sam starter.
Gotcha. But they're a little bit in the small side, though. That's kind of why I don't see them two being on the strong side more.
Well, I think that Curry is the type of guy that has the potential. But
he's
remember,
big.
He hasn't stayed healthy.
Right.
You know, they have the size element there. Keep that in mind, Gerson. But those two players have to prove that they can stay on the field. Two names that John threw out, Rivers and Curry, have a laundry list of injuries.
Yep.
That's been their biggest issue. Even last season, with Keith Rivers coming over via the trade, could not stay healthy throughout the course of the season. And we know Curry's history with the Raiders and the Seahawks. He was cut by the Raiders because he couldn't get that knee in right shape to stay on the field consistently week to week. So that's going to be the big thing. Can they get through training camp? Let's see the two of them get through training camp, and then that will prove to the coaching staff, all right, they got through the grind of a 3 or 4 week period. Now maybe they can translate that to the regular season.
All right.
Thanks, Gerson.
Hi, right, Gerson. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so
hey,
much.
Guys.
All right, I got some tweets here for you, Lance.
Sure.
From Andrew. Wow, Lance Meadow, what's the occasion?
We knew that was going to start.
Our good buddy Marwan Ali, Stevie Brown got caught peeking into the backfield more than a few times last year. That's true. He was not perfect. He made some mistakes. Some guys did get behind them from time to time, and he was responsible for some of those.
In defense to that, keep in mind, the Giants' defense overall last season was opportunistic as a group. You can point to individuals, but the reason they had a lot of turnovers because they took advantage of other teams' mistakes, and that at times covered up a lot of issues on the defensive side of the ball, such as the inability to stop the run.
Shy E, C.C. Brown, no why, explanation point. So they thank our good buddy Shakes for that one. Jeff G-Man, I want to see if they can improve picking up the blitz, protect Eli, exclamation point. And that's going to be a big thing for David Wilson. And talking to Gerald Ingram last week, he basically made the point that, look, he thinks David has a pretty good idea of the protections and what, you know, is needed from a intelligence and scheme standpoint. Now it's a matter of him stepping in there and doing it. We talked about this last year. It's one thing to know where you should be and who you should block. It's another thing to have the will to step in there and actually get in front of the 280-pound guy that's trying to run you over and actually do it. So,
something that he was not asked to do at the collegiate level consistently. That's another thing that Wilson lacks in terms of the experience department. And you also want to build the trust between the running back and the quarterback. As far as Eli Manning is concerned, he needs to believe in David Wilson, and if they put him out there on third downs or second downs when they're in passing situations, he is going to pick up the blitzer and Manning will stay upright.
And I want to see if you can pronounce the hashtag of the first guy in the list, but this is the one you always used to screw up. I want to see if you forgot how to say it.
Is this I called him Big Blue Aviator all the time, but it's Big Blue Viator.
Okay, very
yes,
good. You
we
got
finally
it
got it
right,
right regarding Andrew. Yes, he won't kill me today.
SNY had a breakdown of DeMontre Moore. I did not see that, just for the record. I was wondering if you agree that he's a, let's be honest, there's not much of a reason to watch SNY with the Mets playing the way they are.
Can't argue with that. They did send Ike Davis finally down.
Unless Matt Harvey's pitching, or I guess when Zach Wheeler eventually comes up, that'll be interesting too. I mean, them and the Marlins. I think the Mets are the only team the Marlins can actually beat. I think more than almost 50% of their wins this year have come against the Mets.
If I'm correct, 8 of their 18 wins have come against the Mets.
It's amazing. They've swept them 2 straight series.
That's the greatest thing about playing your division rivals. You know the Marlins are guaranteed a couple of more victories, given how many more times they'll play each other.
Seriously, you wonder why the Braves have the best record in baseball. They get to beat up on teams like that all year long.
And I think most people thought the NL East would have the most depth, given the improvements of most of the teams and the fact that the Nationals, you assume the Nationals were going to be able to build off of what happened last season.
Yeah, they're only 500. Only
injuries, though. Strasburg and Harper, their top two players, are hurt.
Anyway, back to the tweet. DeMontre Moore had a breakdown of him. Wonder if you agree that he's a project. I'm not sure if a project is the right word. I think you can use him in some, you know, pass rush scenarios this year right away. But as a full-time four-down defensive lineman, is he going to have to work a little bit and get a little bit bigger? Yes. Is that going to happen this year? No, probably not. So that's how I answer that.
And maybe he's going to make his biggest impact on special teams.
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to be his role this season. Not saying that Moore's not going to have opportunities on the defensive front, but sometimes the best way to get on the football field and impress the coaching staff is to add to special teams.
And he's got to be willing to do it, too. That's the thing. He was a star in college. He was a projected first-round pick for a long time during the draft process. He has to be willing to go out there and play specials and work at it, which a lot of guys who are highly touted and stars don't like to do.
If it means that you're going to get on the football field, sometimes you have to make that sacrifice.
What's your take on the NBA Finals, by the way?
I picked the Spurs in six.
I picked the Spurs in seven. So,
you really think they're going to win a seventh game in Miami?
If anybody can, it's a veteran Spurs team. But Spurs in six is fine. I just don't think they'd be able to, I don't think they can win three in a row at home.
Well, all they need to do is take two or three at this point.
My whole point in the series was that, look, I think the Spurs are going to have to win two games in Miami. Because I don't think they're only going to win two out of the middle three. They already took one. I think they'll win two out of the middle three. Game three is a must win. And then I think they can take either game six or seven in Miami. That's my feel for it. I don't think the Heat have – here's the problem with the Heat. And LeBron played – I love – no one likes LeBron James as a basketball player more than I do. I can't take some of his flopping, his complaining, and all the other off-the-court stuff. He's annoying. But as a basketball player, he's phenomenal.
Well, you led the fans that were trying to convince him to come to New York a couple of years ago.
Well, why would
you? Out on the streets in New York City.
He's the best player on
the planet.
You put on
that James New York jersey.
I had a friend that had an old 23 Marcus Camby jersey, and he, like,
converted it.
Darked stuff up, and he made it a 23 LeBron James jersey. Anyway, those Heat role players, what they did in Game 2, they don't do that on the road. It's very hard for role players to play well and get that kind of confidence and they don't have the crowd to feed off of to play well on the road. So if the Heat want to win in San Antonio, it's going to have to be their stars that are going to do it for them. And I know Wade played better last night. He still doesn't look the same athletically to me. You know, the Spurs, they go under all the screens. They're going to limit LeBron's points, I think, a little bit. Bosch is up and down. I just don't think they have enough firepower to beat the Spurs 2 out of 3 in San Antonio. I really don't.
Mario Chalmers had a great game last night. They're going to need that type of productivity in San Antonio. Mike Miller's even given them some of a lift. Yeah. So is Ray Allen. And those two were, you know, not much of a presence in the earlier rounds, given that Shane Battier has been taken out of the rotation.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Battier just, he's out?
He's not played very well.
I figured he would play more against the Spurs. Bad matchups against the Pacers. I thought they'd use him more against San Antonio.
Well, I would use him from a defensive perspective. And a lot of people don't like his flopping.
Yeah, you put him on Danny Green, right?
But you put him in, he takes charges, he gives you something at least. I think he gives you more than Miller and Allen would if they have bad shooting nights.
Yeah, though Miller and Allen's plus minus in this series is off the charts. One's like plus 26, the other's like plus 29 or something.
You figure
like
that's bound to change as the series progresses. Think, yeah. But listen, the key last night was not to take anything away from the Heat.
Turnovers.
Yeah, if the Spurs protect the basketball, this is a closer game in the fourth quarter.
How bad has Manu Ginobili been in this series so far?
Very rough series.
Terrible.
Specifically handling the ball.
Leonard's going to be a heck of a player, though.
And Danny Green, too.
Knicks were one pick away from Kawhi Leonard until the Spurs drafted up.
It's been the storyline of the Knicks history all season long. But make sure you follow John Schmuck on Twitter because he'll be able to tell you all about that. You know, John gives tremendous insight to the Giants fans. Oh. You know that. But I would follow John just to get his insight on the Knicks and my responses to his tweets.
What, your snarky sarcasm?
Absolutely. It's material.
And in fairness,
thank you for it.
Even when Kawhi Leonard did go to the Spurs, the Knicks did get chumpered that year. So that ended up working out okay.
Their one shining moment.
What?
That they're still waiting to build upon.
The missing out on Stephen Curry by the pick and winding up with Jordan Hill didn't work out too well for them?
Hey, I look back at that trio that they drafted. We're talking back in the day.
What, Dante Jones,
John Wallace,
and
I'm still waiting for
Walter
them to
McCarty,
contribute.
And Walter McCarty ended up being the best guy. He's an assistant coach now, isn't he?
There
Walter?
You go. I believe he is.
For the thing for the Celtics, right? Isn't he on Doc Rivers' staff?
He may be, actually. I'm not 100%
sure.
But
Jason
I think
Kidd wants to interview for the Nets job? You saw that.
Which I don't understand.
Why?
Well, I mean, I understand from his perspective.
Oh, of course.
Let me rephrase that. I don't understand why the Nets would give him consideration.
Well, there isn't any word that the Nets
career.
Are considering it. They're just saying,
Mark supposedly Jackson he's going to talk with Billy King.
If you're Jason Kidd, you're making the case. You would say, look what Mark Jackson's done in Golden State.
And that's fair. But did Jackson jump immediately from retirement into a head coaching opportunity?
He tried to.
That's a team that is ready to win right now.
It's hard to take a chance on a rookie coach.
You bring in Kidd, and I was talking about this before we came on the air, you better surround him with a very experienced assistant coaching group.
Would you prefer Brian Shaw? Or same argument applies? Or he's been an assistant, so maybe you have more faith in him to take over?
I think Shaw's ready to take the next step. Okay. He had a big influence on the success of the Pacers this season.
And on the Lakers when he was there.
Correct.
A lot of people thought he should have gotten that job. People were annoyed when they gave it to Mike Brown instead of Brian Shaw out there in L.A.
So tomorrow, John will continue to break down the coaching carousel in the NBA for those of you who are interested. And we'll also throw in some mini-camp chatter if time allows.
Well, tomorrow it'll be, I believe, Paul Dottino and Nita Marks tomorrow morning.
Wow. Paul Dottino. They're back at Timex.
Getting
those
chair,
Nikes
back
ready.
Together again.
Oh, boy. Must listen. All right, so that'll wrap things up this morning. A good way to segue to other stuff going around the Giants.
It was good to have you back, Lance.
Yeah, it was good to be back. Hopefully we could do this a lot more in the upcoming weeks and months ahead.
I'll have to extend the invitation more often.
Sounds good. And appreciate the phone calls, everybody, for chiming in, whether it be at 201-939-4513 or on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. For those of you who we didn't have an opportunity to address your questions and comments, we'll try to do that off the air. Tune in again tomorrow, same time, 10 to 10:30, as Big Blue Kickoff Live is with you daily right here on Giants.com. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Meadow. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.